It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
Steve Inskeep's on assignment in Pakistan. I'm Mary Louise Kelly. Nearly a month after Osama bin Laden was killed, it is still unclear who is now leading al-Qaeda. The presumed successor was thought to be bin Laden's second-in-command, Egyptian Ayman al-Zawahiri. But no formal announcement has been made. Partly because of that, other names have been floated. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston has this profile on one of them.
Intelligence officials will tell you that no one in al-Qaeda worries them more right now than a man named Saif al-Adel. A former colonel in the Egyptian army, al-Adel served in its special forces before he joined the terrorist group. And then soon after joining al-Qaeda, U.S. officials say he was put in charge of the group's intelligence training. He ran a six-month course for promising operatives to teach them how to track people and gather information and lose someone who might be trailing them.
He's not an amateur when it comes to terrorism.
Bruce Hoffman is a terrorism expert at Georgetown University.
And at almost every pivotal point in al-Qaeda's history, he's been the go-to guy. He's been the hands-on guy who firstly assisted in making the 1998 attacks on the U.S. embassies in East Africa happen. While he was in his exile in Iran, he was instrumental in mounting a series of potentially catastrophic attacks had they continued in Saudi Arabia. So he's a key player, and he's also, I think, an extraordinarily accomplished fighter and someone, therefore, who's extremely dangerous.
Al-Adel was in Iran because he was one of a handful of al-Qaeda operatives who fled there from Afghanistan right after the 9/11 attacks. Some of the arrivals in Tehran were allowed to come and go. Others, like Saif al-Adel, were put under house arrest, with little hope of being released. That's where al-Adel's story takes another interesting turn. In 2008, an Iranian diplomat was kidnapped. Here's how the incident was reported on Al Jazeera.
Armed men stopped his car and shot his bodyguard to death when he tried to resist them. Of course, some suspect that the Taliban Pakistan and extremist groups such as al-Qaeda were behind the attack.
According to U.S. officials familiar with the case, they were. Al-Qaeda had a hand in the abduction. That was followed by 2 years of negotiations and then a trade. The Iranian diplomat was swapped for key al-Qaeda members, including Saif al-Adel. Al-Adel and a handful of other senior leaders were reunited with al-Qaeda late last year. Former Deputy National Security Advisor Juan Zarate said al-Qaeda suddenly had men with fighting experience back in the game.
That set of al-Qaeda leaders is incredibly important because they represent the old guard of al-Qaeda who could replenish the senior leadership fairly quickly and easily.
Zarate says Iran scored twice. It managed to get their hostage back and at the same time hurt the U.S. by strengthening al-Qaeda.
By releasing perhaps senior al-Qaeda leaders like Saif al-Adel, Iran helps to continue the al-Qaeda franchise, which is a thorn in the side of the United States.
Now there are reports that al-Qaeda has made al-Adel its interim leader, essentially leapfrogging him over bin Laden's number two, Zawahiri. Rick Nelson tracks al-Qaeda for the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington. He says al-Adel has Iran to thank if he does eventually become al-Qaeda's new leader.
Being in Iran for a long period of time through most of the U.S. war against al-Qaeda, you know, preserved his life in many ways and now has put him in a position to possibly take over the organization.
In other words, because al-Adel was in Iran, the U.S. couldn't target him for the last 9 years. Now, nearly a month after bin Laden's death, al-Qaeda has yet to formally name a replacement. Until that happens, al-Adel's new role is only speculation. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News.